College football nerds, we are here talking Ole Miss and Alabama. First game of the year for Ole Miss that we're discussing. We've talked some Alabama this year already. Going to remind y'all in the comments, please give us your points, your score for this game, what you think, how you think it's going to play out. You can call us dumb or idiots or whatever when you hear our scores. Just back it up with data. And want to remind y'all, we're going to do it every week. I'm going to remind you every week. We do a live show. This past weekend, it was just me. So if you see the replay on YouTube or on our podcast, it was just me for 2.5 hours. So not the quality with my nerd Josh here with me tonight that you'd normally get, but it was still pretty fun. So we're going to do another one this Saturday, I think. If we do it, it'll be 10 p.m. Eastern, and we will post something on Twitter. You should follow us on Twitter. It'll be out there ready for you. So if you want to talk during the games on Saturday night, I think we're the only channel doing it. Maybe RJ's doing something, but I know we're doing it, and some people have said they're appreciative of the fact that, you know, not a lot of people are talking while the action's going on. So that would be us on Saturday nights. Josh, let's get right into this. This is a huge game, maybe the biggest game of the year so far, which is interesting because we've had Georgia and Clemson. We've had, you know, Alabama, Florida. We've had a lot of big games, but there's just some heat around this game, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Ole Miss was the team that gave Alabama the biggest scare probably of all the teams last year, including Florida. If people go back and watch the Florida game, Alabama was in prevent, kind of letting them score. I think it was not as close as the Ole Miss game could have been. So maybe that's what people are looking at in this one, Josh. But is it true? Is it possible that this game is a lot different because last year there weren't these expectations on Ole Miss and they were kind of lying in wait with an ambush on Alabama? And this year there's a lot more expectations on Ole Miss to be a legitimate team, and they might feel that pressure coming into Tuscaloosa.
There's definitely a lot more pressure on Ole Miss this year than there was last year. Not to say that Ole Miss isn't playing with house money, but last year there was no expectation that they were going to give Alabama a game. They came in, sort of shocked the world, had a whole game plan for Alabama. This year, I think they had to show their cards a little more. They definitely put a lot more on tape in the Louisville game. They were aggressive in the Tulane game early, and now they're coming in with a high ranking, with expectations, with the fact that this is going to be a big-time game. And so I think it's interesting to see, given that they're probably going to have Alabama's full attention, are they going to be able to be as effective as they were last year? Because like you said, you know, the Florida game may have been close late last year, but it really, that was a game where Alabama was sort of in prevent mode and Florida was able to sort of close a multi-score gap and make it look good at the end, but it was just barely close enough for Florida to be able to, you know, tie or win the game at the end of it. Ole Miss was a game that was really competitive start to finish. Unlike Florida, they weren't trailing by a large amount in the first half. That was a very competitive game. I think it's reasonable to expect that Ole Miss is going to push them again this year. Their offense has looked extremely good. Their defense does look improved. The question is, how big is that animal for Alabama? How much is Alabama able to adjust to what Ole Miss is bringing offensively? And how much is Ole Miss going to be able to compensate for you know, the lack of Elijah Moore, the lack of Yeboah, the things that they used in terms of matchups to really out-leverage and to score on Alabama, especially in crucial situations? And I think that's really the name of the game in this one.
So I think Alabama fans would probably say, and it's funny that they say this because people do this to Alabama all the time and they're wrong for doing it. They're going to say, Josh, that Ole Miss ain't played nobody, Paul. Louisville's not any good. They beat Florida State by like 8 points. We see that Tulane, I think, lost to UAB this weekend. They're going to say Ole Miss has got, they're putting up these numbers offensively, but they haven't played anybody. How do we know that they're legit? Is Ole Miss to the point, at least on the offensive side of the ball, that we can say, like we say with Alabama, that it doesn't matter if you haven't played anybody? We can see some things in there that show that what you're doing will scale against a good opponent. Are we ready to say that Ole Miss, even though we haven't seen them play somebody really good this year, at least on the offensive side of the ball, we don't care. We know they're good.
I'm going to step back and say a maybe, kind of, sort of. And this is where sometimes I lose people, but I'm just trying to be fair. Ole Miss last year was a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde. And depending on which fan base you talk to, you can get very different opinions of that team and that offense. So in 2020, you know, the Alabama game was to some degree sort of the high watermark, at least in terms of prestige performance, where they had 48 points, pushed them to the wire, 647 yards of offense. But the very next week against Arkansas, six interceptions, five, a pretty, you know, average to pedestrian 4.86 yards per play. They ran 91 plays in that game, and while they had 442 yards, I mean, just a tremendous number of drives to get there. And that was really the whole season, right? You know, Auburn was 5.5 yards per play. Vanderbilt, a ton of yards, but they don't really exist as part of the SEC anymore. And then later in the season, you know, LSU, 7.4. Indiana, there were a bunch of guys out, but 6.1. Kind of up and down, up and down, up and down all year long. And I think the thing with Ole Miss, if you were to define him offensively, if you were to talk about how Lane Kiffin's schemes have worked, is he likes to feature guys. He likes to set up shop plays. And his offense is really predicated around straining you in a number of different ways, constantly keeping you off balance. And this is especially true with the run, pounding you to move the chains while waiting for you to slip up, and really just using the genius of Lane Kiffin to figure out at what point you're going to make an adjustment from the things he's doing that are working on a down-to-down basis and hitting you deep for that score. The problem is, if you're able to stop the run, if you're able to take away those down-to-down things and to where those shot plays don't really ever have a situation where, you know, the safety's out-leveraged, where the other team's caught guessing, now they can kind of sort of press. And I think that's what happened against Arkansas. I think that's what's happened against LSU. They weren't moving the ball well enough to set up the big plays. And so Lane Kiffin's offense can be kind of hot or cold. This year, I think they're really good. This year, they've looked really consistent. Last year, for the most part, they were very consistent. Don't get me wrong. But there is some truth to the argument of we don't really know what's going to happen when Ole Miss plays in Alabama. And I think it's due to the matchups. And, you know, I don't want to end up on too much of a monologue here, but when I talk about the matchups, again, I talk about Yoboa, I talk about Elijah Moore, they get a one-on-one with Moore on someone, and they hit a big play. They get a one-on-one with Yoboa on a linebacker, and they were able to generate a big play. Now, against Louisville and Tulane, they've been able to get those pretty much regardless because those teams defensively are outmatched by Ole Miss's rank-and-file receivers, running backs, etc. But they're not going to have those same advantages in this game. You know, Drummond, Mingo, Sanders, they're good players, but none of them are Elijah Moore. And those may be better players than anyone Louisville or Tulane has in the secondary, but I'm not sure if you were to talk about where they're going to be drafted, I don't know that they're going to be drafted higher than maybe anyone in Alabama's secondary. And that creates a lot of problems for how well Lane Kiffin can scheme up big plays for Alabama versus how easily he was able to do it against Louisville and Tulane.
So we're doing a segment, y'all, that let us know if you like it, that really forces us to look at these teams and what we like and what we don't like. And that's what we kind of call it, is what you like and what you don't like. I'll go first on this for Ole Miss and tell you, Josh, what I like about Ole Miss. And that is a couple of things. So first, Ely and Snoop Connor are running backs that I like a lot in this matchup. Everybody thinks about Matt Corral and what he does or did. He had a couple of wild, you know, crazy plays against Alabama last year. But those running backs were what really strained Alabama and what really put a lot of pressure on them. And they've had some struggles in run defense lately, last few years. They tend to get it together towards the end of the season, but early in the season they can be caught. And I think that's a situation I like a little bit in this game for Ole Miss, something I like. One other thing that I like a lot is the mismatch, the coaching mismatch. Now, Saban's not getting out coached. He's GOAT. We all know that. And you and I have not been as tough on Pete Golding as a lot of Alabama fans have wanted us to be. And they've wanted – there's a core group of them that have wanted him fired for years. I think he's better than he gets credit for. But in saying that, I think in terms of someone or being able to game plan, there's a mismatch here. Elaine Kiffin and Lebby game planning, you know, couple of weeks, because remember, they had a bye week. Everybody needs to remember that. They're going to come out with a great script. So even if they don't put up a bunch of points in this game, they're going to come out and probably score a couple touchdowns pretty quick. That, to me, is a mismatch. And I like that for Ole Miss in this game. Give me your likes for Ole Miss.
My like for Ole Miss is the fact that their defensive line has been able to more or less control the line of scrimmage with three guys. When you go back and watch the tape of the Louisville game, what Ole Miss really did is they played three down linemen. They repeatedly dropped seven or eight guys in coverage, and they watched Cunningham flail. Louisville has a really athletic quarterback. He tore up UCF, but he did that in part because he had actually moved the ball underneath some. And against Ole Miss, they really weren't able to do it. And I think it's that line play up front that's allowed their defense to take the next step. And they're playing a lot of bend but don't break. But you can do that more when the line plays good. It's actually pretty similar to what Barry Odom's been doing in Arkansas in a lot of ways. They're a little more aggressive. But that's my big like for Ole Miss. Not only are they tackling well or they're playing better, but they're doing it really because the defense is able to react to the ball well, keep their eyes on the quarterback. They did that against Tulane, a lot of three-man fronts. And as long as the D-line can hold up well enough, which they've been able to, you can keep playing that style of football, move to the ball, swarm, and that aggressiveness that I think more free-flowing defense has been a massive improvement for them and a real change of pace from their prior defenses, last year, year before, where it felt like they were constantly on their heels, missed a lot of tackles, and didn't really know what they're doing. That aggression and the decisiveness from the defensive side of the ball is a real improvement.
So I'll tell you what I don't like about Ole Miss, and one of them may not even show up because it may have been corrected, but I don't like Matt Corral's tendencies, at least last year, to let small things become big things. So things that start going sideways a little bit early, he would press and force. I think it was five interceptions against LSU, six interceptions against Arkansas. He never hit that moment with Alabama last year. And this is kind of where I was, what I was thinking about with my opening question. At home against Alabama, playing entirely with house money, with no expectations, he was very free and you know, wasn't a turnover machine in that game, very loose. With this crowd in Tuscaloosa, because they're going to be like Alabama fans, like get a bad rap for not being that loud. They're going to get lathered up for this game. It's going to be 2005 Florida, if anybody remembers that. It's going to be something like that, one of the ones that they remember. There's a possibility, a potential for things to go sideways for him and to force and press and be a turnover machine. The second thing I don't like, and we'll see if this continues, I don't like the rush three drop eight scheme that works really well in the Big 12. I don't like that scheme against this Alabama team because they're going to be able to do the one thing they haven't done a whole lot this year, and that's run the ball. And I also don't love athletically. I think that Alabama, where they couldn't do it as much with Florida, but have been able to do it in the past, to just out-athlete somebody and get a first down or a score when they needed it, I think they're going to kind of be able to do that against Ole Miss. And I think that's more of a negative for Ole Miss than a positive. Give me the things you don't love about Ole Miss.
The simplest thing that I don't love, and I've already sort of danced around it a couple different ways, is I don't love trying to evaluate Ole Miss based off the current quality of opponent. The tagline for Tulane going into the Ole Miss game was, well, that's a really good offense because they gave Oklahoma problems, scored 35 points. I've had about 400 yards. I'm not so sure now. Tulane's offense against UAB, pretty ineffective. 21 points, about the same yardage they had against Oklahoma, about 5 yards a play. Ole Miss gave up more yards per play. You know, the game was actually a lot shorter for a variety of reasons, but gave up more yards per play than Oklahoma or UAB did. And Ole Miss was also able offensively to get Tulane off their game plan, which is credit to Ole Miss. But again, I think Tulane might have been a bit of a paper tiger based off people thinking that Oklahoma really was a national title contender when, in truth, they're probably rather shaky right now. Same thing for Louisville. Louisville Offensively, 4.6 yards per play against Ole Miss looked really good. Lit up UCF, and everyone was sort of high on them. But again, Florida State, even though they're still reeling, and Louisville won the game against Florida State, they did it with under 5 yards per play. About the same yardage or a little bit more with a few more plays than they had against Ole Miss. And if you were to say that Ole Miss's defense is, you know, let's say roughly the same as Florida State or UAB, is that good or bad? And I think the answer is it's fine. I think it's average. And when you pair it with their offense, that's pretty good. But the beginning of the season sort of expectation that they were going to maybe be an absolute monster, even in my own mind, I'm starting to temper a little bit because I have real doubts about the defensive quality of anyone they played, particularly given that it's so much based on athleticism. And I have real doubts about how good the opposing offenses were that they played, that they were able to really expose them, especially, like you said, a drop eight scheme or a three lineman front, which they show a lot. That works if the other team can't handle three linemen at the line of scrimmage and move the ball. Alabama hasn't shown the ability to manhandle people with a run, but I think they've got it, or at least they usually start to show it around this time of the year just due to their talent level. And those things all concern me. That isn't to say Ole Miss is a bad team overall, but it's fair to say not only are they untested, but they might not be operating in the same talent sphere, let's say, or have been compared to the same talent sphere as they're going to be throughout the rest of the year when they start entering SEC play. Now, we've already kind of talked about Alabama in response to it, so maybe blow through, but I assume we want to talk about Alabama's positives and minuses, right?
Yeah, and just to keep it rolling, because we got to get into the model as well, I'll do positives and negatives. For Alabama, I think defensive line, offensive line is going to be a big positive for them in this game. And you can consider schematically how they play. You know, it may be technically an outside linebacker with their hand in the dirt. That defensive front and their ability to get after the quarterback or contain the quarterback in this game, I think, is going to show up. I think Will Anderson is going to be a nightmare in this game. I think that they're going to overmatch the Ole Miss offensive line, which is not a bad offensive line, but I think there's an advantage there. And I think Alabama's offensive line is better than they've been given credit for this year as well. There's some questions a little bit here or there on plays. I read a lot of complaints about the Alabama offensive line against Florida. Florida's actually a pretty good team. And I actually think Alabama's offensive line held point a little better than it maybe initially felt in that game. The new Alabama fans are all over DJ Dale. He's better than you're giving him credit for. I think the crowd is a huge thing I love about Alabama in this game. I think it's going to have – we've seen it all year this year. Fans are really affecting games, and I think we're going to see it in this game, and it has potential – to really get things sideways, like I talked about. Things I don't love for Alabama right now, I don't love that mismatch that we talked about defensively, and I don't like inside linebacker play, what I've seen so far this year. I think secondary is actually really good. Helms hasn't looked great, but in general, that secondary has been pretty good. Inside linebackers are scaring me a little bit. I don't know if they're having to do too much. The play calling is not happening soon enough. Too many responsibilities. Even games outside of Florida, I've seen things that I don't love in that regard. Tell me your
the thing that I like the most about Alabama this year is really the athleticism in the back seven. I know the linebackers, including you just then, were very sort of maligned. I personally think the defensive line for Alabama is not doing a very good job of keeping the linebackers clean, and it's making the linebackers look a lot worse than they really are. But if you want to talk about speed and athleticism, they've got it. You're not going to really run by anyone in their back seven. And that's a real, you know, sort of advantage against going against someone like Ole Miss. Last year, Daniel Wright had a lot of problems with either playing poorly, overplaying, running the play, etc. And Ole Miss was able to get a lot of big shots on it. I think that's going to be tamped down a lot more. The question is whether or not they can actually stop Ole Miss's rush attack. And I'll sort of say that's really my negative for Alabama is I am not sold that Alabama can stone the run. Now, they've been playing a lot of two-man fronts. They'll actually have four guys in the line of scrimmage, but two of the four are outside linebackers. They only actually have two defensive linemen on the field. I think they have been scheming their defense to play these teams like Ole Miss that are run a lot faster. And it's because Ole Miss is so versatile. And that To me, though, I think an underrated point here, and maybe this is another positive for Alabama, Alabama's also really versatile, and they're also really multiple. And one of the big immersions for them has been Billingsley at tight end in the past couple games, because with him out there, they now have, in Latu and Billingsley, two high-level tight ends, and they have the receiving core, which I think is starting to figure itself out. Ole Miss is going to have some of the same problems Alabama had last year. They're going to be able to catch Ole Miss without having the right alignment because they can put two tight ends out there. And now if you're in a three-man front, there's almost no way you can effectively block. Where I say block, be able to hold point and hold blockers in the line of scrimmage if you've got seven guys on the line of scrimmage because you've got two tight ends. And if Ole Miss goes heavy, then Alabama's going to split them wide. And more than likely, whoever for Ole Miss has those matchups is probably going to be outmatched and it's going to have a hard time containing those tight ends. Because, yeah, like Campbell and Sistrunk have played well. They've been an improvement from what we've seen. But those outside linebackers and inside linebackers for Ole Miss are still not really capable of staying with guys that are receiver, you know, NFL receiving quality tight ends. And I think that's probably the biggest set of advantages. And I, you know, to me, and maybe we can leave it in the model. I think the irony in a lot of this is a lot of the expectations from brand names are a little bit flipped. I mean, Ole Miss sort of won the day offensively last year based on their ability to run the ball on Alabama. That's the same thing Florida did. The advantages Alabama has in this game are the fact that they're kind of smaller and faster, and in some ways almost scrappier than Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss to win this game, as much as they want to have their shot plays, they've got to be able to lean on the ability to use Ely as a back and lean on Alabama with what I think is a pretty good offensive line. And you know, whether or not that scales against Alabama in this level of competition, I think is really the determining factor here.
Why don't you go ahead and get us into the model, and then we'll go to picks.
So the model, at this point, we always want to put out the caveat. It's really early. It's really rusty. I think it had like 41-10 Arkansas over Texas A&M last week, which, oddly enough, was maybe not that inaccurate. But at this point, you're going to have some weird results just because there's not enough data. That said, the model has Alabama 45, Ole Miss 44. The underlining points that lead to that, it spits out some things that are, you know, sort of intermediate statistics it uses to generate its score prediction, one of which is the predictive yardage for each team, and another is sort of as a baseline stat that we calculate and throw into the model, a percentage of opponent averages allowed. That is, if you get 4 yards per play, and you average five, you've gotten 80% of your yardage, right? Alabama's holding teams to just below their averages. Ole Miss is holding teams right at their averages. The problem for both is the competition level's been really bad. Southern Miss is a bad football team. They average 1.8 yards per carry, 5.3 yards per attempt. Alabama can't do much better than that. It's just not possible. And so you look average because if you have your average day, they don't move the ball and they don't score. Same general problem for Ole Miss playing teams that both average under 7 yards per attempt. No one's averaging 4.5 yards per carry. And so really the competition level is making the defenses look bad, if that makes sense. It's been impossible in these blowout wins for either defense to really acquit itself completely. Because even when they're playing really well early in the game, you talk about garbage stats, but even when they're playing well early in the game, they're playing well against teams that most people play well against. That was my point about UAB or Florida State having similar stats. In that mold, a lot of the offensive stats are really sort of the expected averages for the two teams. I mean, Alabama's expected to get theirs. They're expected to get right about their normal run and pass averages, which are about 4.5 yards per carry, about 10 yards per attempt. Ole Miss is expected to have about their offensive output, which is 5.5 yards per carry, 11 yards per attempt. So that's where you get 45-44. It thinks Alabama's a little more efficient scoring. Again, chunk plays are good for scoring, but Ole Miss still has a little bit of that herky-jerky inconsistency that Lane Kiffin offenses often have, and Matt Corral in particular is a little inconsistent. Alabama's a little more consistent at scoring, and that's why it gives Alabama the one-point edge, and it is really right at 1 point. Personally, I think the Alabama number is pretty darn accurate, the 45. I just don't buy the 44. I mean, it's possible that Ole Miss throws for 11 yards per attempt. I just don't see it. Maybe they run for 5 yards per carry. I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility, but I think this Alabama secondary is quite good. They have really good corner play across the board. They have a tremendous amount of depth. They can go to dime sets or what have you and, you know, not really have a problem, unlike Ohio State that lacks corner depth or a lot of other teams nationally right now. And so I think they are going to hold Ole Miss to a lower number. I would say personally 45 to 31. And I think Alabama probably gets up earlier and Ole Miss sort of hangs around, continues to score. I don't think this game is ever going to be a lot closer than two touchdowns. Maybe it bounces from one touchdown to two touchdown. But 45-31 would be my prediction, basically assuming that Ole Miss, now that they're playing someone on a, you know, someone on a little bit of a closer talent level, as opposed to Alabama, who played Miami, who may not be the best team in the world, but is at least solid. Florida, those are Power 5 teams with Power 5 talent. Ole Miss's stats are going to look a little different against a P5 team, and I think theirs get tamped down, and that's why, you know, I would say Alabama about a 14-point win.
So I agree with you. I think that the model's got Alabama pegged pretty well. And to me, what I don't want to do is look too much into this and say the model is – The model is missing out on all of this potentially bad stuff for Ole Miss because they haven't played anybody, because that's not really fair to Ole Miss. For all we know, they're just as good against really good defenses. They just haven't had the chance to show it. And that's what's tough. I mean, we start week four with a model for a reason. And when you have a bye week in those first 4 weeks and an FCS that doesn't get included, it does have the potential to throw things sideways. But the problem for me is I see Ole Miss playing football, and it's impressive. I mean, offensive football is impressive. Even against air, it'd be impressive. The scheme is great. They run. They move fast. I think that Corral is going to give Alabama fits, either on designed QB draws or, you know, when the pocket's collapsing around him, he's finding 5-6 yards to keep them on the field. They're having a hard time staying, getting off the field on 3rd and 18 versus Florida. I think they're going to have a hard time with this one as well. They're going to give up some points Saturday, and Alabama fans aren't going to love it. Give me 45-37, Alabama. And this is interesting because neither one of us are picking Alabama to cover. They've got 8 straight covers, I think you said, at home. The line right now is about 14.5, and I just I think that it's certainly possible, especially if that sideways things start happening for Corral or this offense. But yeah, I would be shocked if they don't score at least in the, you know, low 30s against Alabama. So Josh, give me one final thought on this game.
My final thought on the game really is, the 14.5-point spread is probably, in my opinion, dead on where it needs to be. And this game is what I would call a highly volatile game with a decent margin. And what I mean by that, like, if you look at last year, Corral had 2 games where he threw 11 interceptions, and they had a lot of the rest of the year where he was phenomenal. This game's going to swing probably one of those two ways. And if Ole Miss is in a situation where they really have to press and they're not in their comfort zone, Alabama might win this game 50-20. It would not surprise me. If Corral can continue to put pressure on Alabama and Lane Kiffin is able to stay ahead of what Alabama is scheming, especially with a week off, it could be closer. And I would consider the Vegas line to essentially be a bet of, does Alabama blow them out or not? And it's about a 50-50 chance. It was the same deal with the Florida game. I thought Alabama probably would blow them out. This time I'm saying they won't. But I think it's almost a coin flip. And Florida is 21-3 in that game. It just as easily could have gone the other direction. And I don't think you're going to really know. I don't think there's any good way to know. And I think there are going to be a few things. Lane Kiffin's going to go for it on fourth down. He's going to take some deep shots. And whether or not those connect, whether or not those convert, is going to have a really disproportionate effect on the score. And it may make Ole Miss artificially closer to Alabama than they would be, but it does make them a lot more likely to be blown out than they otherwise would be too, right? Like, they may lose by 35 points in this game and they're not 35 points worse, but they're doing that to have maybe on average score an extra 5-10 points risking the blowout by going for it on fourth down and that kind of thing. And so this is a really, really highly volatile game. We don't bet, but I've always said with games like this, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because you're just rolling dice. There's just no way to know whether or not this game is going to be a blowout or a close one.
We talked about this before, and look it up while I'm talking. Look up the over-under if you get a chance. We've talked a lot about in games where you wouldn't pick a team or you wouldn't bet on a team given a spread. Is this a game where you would bet either the over or the under if you were betting?
I think it has a little bit of the same problem. I mean, the over-under is 77, and that's a high number, right? It's got it in the mid-30s, which is around where we're bouncing our score at. I just think this is a game where Vegas is dead on. I think a 37-37 score, or in this case it would be more like 44-30, is probably the average outcome of the game. I just think if you played this game 10 times, so the way Ole Miss is going to play it, the number of times you're going to get 44-30 are really slim, even though I picked it. Most of your scores are going to be closer to much further apart, like all over the spectrum. I don't think there is any good angle to pick this game. I think it is a well-done spread and over-under. I don't think there's any trap here. I just think it's highly volatile. I don't have any good feel for it. It'll be really interesting to see how it turns out, and I think they could play 10 times and get 10 different results.
All right, y'all, let us know in the comments what you think this game is going to look like. Give us a score, back it up with data. Remember, we're going to do a live show Saturday night as long as Josh is game. And we're going to talk about this one, and we're looking forward to it. So during the week, we'll mix it up with y'all in the comments. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.